Extra! Extra! Paddy Power pay more places on golf than any other bookie. Just log on to paddypower.com to get sinking that each way value. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there. A warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin, as usual, but slightly unusually. We're all dispersed all around Britain and Ireland. I'm somewhere in the Cotswolds. Steve's down in Weymouth. And Ian, where are you?
About half an hour from Dublin, the leafy suburb of Dunshaughlin, County Meath.
Lovely. Excellent. Sounds lovely. Right, anyway, it's a big one this week because they've messed around, but they've changed the golf calendar. And now, this week, not only have we got the Cheltenham Festival and the Champions League and all sorts, but we've also got the Players' Championship, the fifth major. So one of the big tournaments of the year. We'll be looking at that shortly. One of the less big tournaments of the year also takes place. It's the Kenya Open. But before the lads give their tips for this week, let's have a little recap on last week and see what happened. Steve, was it another weekend of pain for you, or did you manage to scramble any sort of financial consolation?
No, it was the absolute low point of my tipping career, actually. I've never produced as much garbage as that before, and I apologise to anyone who followed my advice. If it's any consolation, I almost certainly lost more than you. I took a real bit of punishment last week, and breathtakingly depressing week. But they always say the darkest hour is before dawn, don't they?
So yeah.
I'm sort of pinning my hopes on that at the moment, because I mean the Jason Day debacle. I don't know if you followed it last week, Bruce, but
Jason Day withdrew quite early. Is that right?
He withdrew after six holes. No whisper of any injury. The last health bulletin on Jason Day was a really positive one. He was full of beans after the Pebble Beach Pro Am. He said everything feels great. So no whisper of any injury problems. And then he pulls out and says, oh yeah, I got injured on Sunday, hurt my back, annular tears in my back, could hardly move. And as I say, nothing on the internet. All the Australian reporters who typically follow his every move have not even reported that he missed the Pro-Am. He pulled out of the Pro-Am. So that was the low point. Jason Day with withdrawal. I mean, he just threw us to the dogs. I mean, golfers have no regard for the punting community. A lot of people say they shouldn't have to worry about the punting community, but there's a lot of money swishing around. There's all these fantasy league things now. I think Jason Day was a bit of a disgrace last week for not telling anyone that he'd got injured on the Sunday.
Okay, fair enough. While Steve clears his throat, Ian, was that a good week for the bookies or for the punters?
No, it was a good week for the bookies. Rory McIlroy was a one-man train in terms of liabilities for the week. And as he was through the lead for the 4 days, his liability went up and up and up. So we were glad to see, for the 10th time in the last 3 years, a final group debacle where he couldn't get anything going. Obviously, Francesco Molinari was unfound the market to start, coming from five shots back on Sunday. Wasn't in the top 10 over the weekend. So unfound in the in-play book, unfound in the outright book. So yeah, cracking result for us in the end.
Steve, are we slightly concerned now about Rory? I mean, we've had a nice Twitter question from someone who just said, what's going on here just with his failure to convert these days?
Yeah, I think the final group thing. Sorry, I haven't succeeded on that throw. But I don't know what's down there. It's a bit early today, isn't it? We've started a bit early. It takes a few hours to get going on a week. I think we have got some concerns. I think the final group thing is in his head now. He's played in 10 events in the last 3 years where he's been in the final two ball or three ball and not won the tournament. So he's got a little losing habit going. He didn't really get going at all on Sunday. He was outplayed by, he was outscored by Matt Fitzpatrick in the final two ball. I wonder whether playing with Matt Fitzpatrick in that final two ball might give Rory a little nudge in the right direction, because he needs a professional caddy, doesn't he? He's got his mate Harry Diamond caddying for him. Yeah, Harry Diamond just says nothing. He provides no input. Matt Fitzpatrick playing alongside Rory on Sunday had Billy Foster, who's arguably the best in the business, certainly one of the best caddies in the business, really, really assisting on every shot. Fitzpatrick and Foster could be a fantastic combination going forward. But I wonder if McIlroy looked at that and thought, you know, I need to get someone in to help me, because I just think a bit of help would help.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense, Steve. Okay, a player to take out from last week each. Ian, we'll start with you.
It had to be Sungjae Im again. He was brilliant over the weekend at Bay Hill. His ball striking was was fantastic for the week. I know we've touted him up to have a big year on the PGA Tour, and it looks to start in earnest this week, so I think he'll kick on for the remainder of the year.
Ian, did I see on Twitter you had a bit of betting heartache? Did you have something going slightly wrong late on?
Yeah, it was a tough Sunday. Like, I had Jorge Campillo in Qatar, and he looked like he was poised to make a big challenge for victory. He missed a couple of short ones on the back nine. And then he was a tie for second when he finished, and everybody that finished that 18th hole seemed to hold a putt or make a birdie to increase the chop on the place part. And then, yeah, it was tough over the weekend as well in Bay Hill. Obviously, Keegan Bradley was my main bet. He was four-shot cushion with Tommy Fleetwood going into the weekend. Completely capitulated, finished even level par, 75-78 to finish. And then Jason Kokrak and Luke List couldn't seem to hold a putt all weekend. They finished a shot outside the places. So, yeah, it was an incredibly frustrating weekend for me in the end.
Okay, lads, well, raise yourselves, as Graham Taylor said. Let's get back into it. Let's get positive. In 10 seconds' time, we will get the lads' Players' Championship views.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Be the right club today.
Okay, welcome back to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. We have got the Players' Championship, the fifth major, kicking off on Thursday at legendary Sawgrass. Can't wait for this one. Really, really excited. Steve, kick us off with your main selection.
Main selection is Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, the last two times I backed Tiger Woods were the Open Championship and the Tour Championship at East Lake. Obviously went very well in the Open, close, and then won at East Lake. I've got a similar feeling in my bones about him this week. I think the neck injury is just it's a red herring. There was a lot of chatter on the Twitter sphere last week about how he's finished again, you know, the start of the Tiger injury problems again. But it's just a minor injury. It's just a neck strain. We all get neck strains occasionally. I have lots of neck strains sitting in this shed, but they come and go. And he was taped up in Mexico. Mexico is where it was an issue. He had tape all up his back. But he's turned up this week. And, you know, 17 days since the last round at Mexico and his first round here. Plenty of time to recover from a neck strain. He's got no taping on. He's free on the range. You can see he's fully fit. So forget about that. The opening shows this week, you know, 33-1 on the exchanges, 28-1 with the bookies. I mean, yeah, that there was a lot of neck factored into that, and as I say, I don't think it's an issue. There's nobody in the field better suited to this course than Tiger. He's the best iron player in the field, the best iron player typically succeeds at Sawgrass. Woods is actually a better iron player now than he's ever been, because he's had to get that department of his game stronger, because he used to be one of the longer players, used to overpower courses, but he's not one of the longer players anymore. He prefers a more strategic test now. You know, control, strategy, patience and courage. I'd say they're the four ingredients for identifying a Sawgrass champion. Obviously, all Tiger qualities. He's played in this tournament 10 times in March. I mean, we must discuss the switch this year. We're going from May to March. And Tiger has played 10 times in Players' Championship in March. Most of the field, the vast majority of the field, would never have played in the March conditions.
Did it used to be in March, Steve, the Players' Championship?
Yeah, it was in March until 2007, and then it's been in May ever since. And, you know, Florida conditions are different. It's going to be slightly cooler than it's been in May, slightly longer, very lush, much more lush conditions, overseeded rough, probably a bit windier. So it is different, and Tiger's got that experience. There's only two players in this field who have won at Sawgrass in March, Tiger Woods and Adam Scott. Tiger's won three times at Sawgrass. He won the 1994 US Amateur Championship at Sawgrass, then his two players' titles. Last year he was coming off a really poor final around at Quail Hollow, finished 55th at Quail Hollow, hadn't played at Sawgrass for 3 years, made a slow start over the weekend, went bananas. Yeah, a real Saturday charge, lit the place up. Finished 11th, so he's clearly got a handle on Sawgrass again. This year, the preparation's much better. He's slowly moved through the gears. 20, 15, 10 is his form figures this year. That 10th in Mexico is fantastic, considering he was carrying injury throughout his handicap there. It was bemusing to see why he was laying so far back on a lot of holes. The commentators were mentioning it. I was thinking, what's happening? Now we know the reason why. He was carrying an injury, but his long irons were so magnificent. He still finished 10th in WGC company. He's gagging to get back on Bermuda greens. He hasn't played on Bermuda greens this year. He's been struggling on the Poana. So you'll see a putting improvement from Tiger. Yeah, everything points to Tiger Woods. I thought that the opening show this week just, you know, was jaw-dropping for me. It was all based around neck injury, which doesn't exist.
You sure it doesn't exist? Are you not setting yourself up for a second week of injury heartache, Steve?
Well, obviously, I've been following him on the range. I've seen footage of him on the range. I listened to every word of the press conference. I've been listening to Nota Begay. I mean, Nota Begay is one of his best friends. Everything Nota Begay says, I take very seriously. And last week, well, as I say, the Twitter sphere was going bananas. Nota Begay was keeping a very calm head. He'd spoken to Tyler and he said it's just a precautionary measure. He loves Arnold Palmer, but he didn't really care about the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He'd much rather get himself fit and fresh for the big run at all that's coming. So, my sources suggest that this is not an injury to worry about anymore.
Steve, I've never seen you while we're recording the podcast for various technical reasons. I'm quite intrigued by the shed. I can see there's a framed picture of you, Van Gerwen, and is it Van der Voort in the background? In a
Vincent Van der Voort, yeah.
And then is that a real Lionel Messi boot there?
Yeah, that's the signed Lionel Messi boot, yeah. And the one over my shoulder there, that is a signed Paul Gascoigne England shirt. So,
Where did you get the Lionel Messi boot from?
That was at a Phil Taylor exhibition, darts exhibition, where they had a silent auction afterwards, and things were going really well for me last year, and obviously had loads of money to play with, so I went bananas at the auction. Yeah. I outbid the whole of Weymouth Pavilion and came home with all these things. You can't see the one I got to my left. I've got a Mike Tyson signed boxing glove here.
Fantastic.
Lots of memorabilia to remind me of better days.
You better have a good lock on that shed.
Well, this is the worry now, isn't it? This is the worry when you've got a lot of expensive memorabilia and a very weak... Yeah, I mean, I'm probably just setting myself up for a break-in now, so... Oh, I'm tough! Come and have a go! I've got big ears! I can hear you coming, and I've got you right out! My Mike Tyson boxing gun!
Most people just have a rusty old rake in their shed. It's not too bad, is it? Anyway, we digress.
Well, I've got two sheds palming, haven't I? You know, I've got another shed with all that sort of stuff in.
I didn't know that. What I do
I'm
need
boasting,
to...
I'm just... Yeah.
All right. What we do need to know, because I've got to get to Cheltenham for day two, is what's the latest betting in and what is your main fancy?
Yeah, sure. So a whopping 10 places this week at the Players' Championship. Dustin Johnson heads up betting at 11-1. Rory McIlroy next in at 12-1. Justin Thomas at 14-1. Justin Rose 18-1. Ricky Fowler 20-1. Brooks Koepka 20-1. Tiger Woods 20-1. And 22-1 bar. And my top tip is also Tiger Woods.
Wow.
I'm in agreement with Steve. As he said, with the neck injury, all the vibes look to be nice, feeling good again. Videos online of him swinging driver as well. As Steve said, the press conferences look good. Going back through, obviously, he's a two-time winner of the event, 2001. That one tournament was in March, and in 2013 as well. He returned for the first time since 2015 last year. Finished 11 in the end, weekend rounds of 65 and 69. His Sunday promised to be a whole lot better. He was chasing down runaway leader Webb Simpson. A few mistakes in the back nine. He was trying to chase victory, obviously masqueraded his overall performance. From a stats perspective, his tee to green figures have been really good over the past month. Was 14 greens in regulation, Genesis Open. Led the field in strokes gained approach in the Mexico Championship. A key component to contend this week at Sawgrass. He finished 10th in the end in the Genesis, but had a terrible week in the Planet Greens. He said he couldn't wait to get off them, as Steve said. But less rough around this week, he can get the driver a little bit more. And with his iron play still being at elite levels, I think just a good week in the Greens will see him probably win, in my opinion. And I think he looks a really good bet at 25-1 this week.
10 places. That's absolutely sensational. What a great offer. Right then, Steve, how many others are you putting up as well as Tiger?
I just need to check if you're going to eat that sandwich again. Every time you get that sandwich, it has a bad psychological impact on me. Because you remember the sandwich incident at the Open Championship?
I'm not going to eat it. I'm really hungry. It's a beautiful bacon sandwich, but I'm going to leave it to get cold.
the next best is Jean de Chiffele. Big fan of Jean de Chiffele. I think him and Woods are the two best closers in the sport. Both got balls of steel. At Sawgrass, that is a big component. You know, down the stretch at Sawgrass, 17, 18, you need to be mentally tough. And Chiffele made his Sawgrass debut last year, closed with a 67 for second place. So immediately showed he could handle Sawgrass. A really impressive debut. He's won at East Lake. He's contended in the US Open and the Open. So he plays tough courses really well. And this season couldn't be going much better for Chiffele. He won the WGC HSB Champions in October. Then he won the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii at the start of the year, final round 62. He's followed up with four top 25. So, yeah, I was surprised that Shafele wasn't that popular in the market. His price is held 28-1. Yeah, I see this as a Woods v. Shafele battle.
Okay, and you've augmented that with a couple more players, one of whom is also notorious for the size of his testicles.
That's it, Ian Poulter. I've never seen his testicles, but I'd imagine they are enormous.
Metaphorical testicles, I mean.
Metaphorical testicles, that's it. Yeah, he's got the right temperament for this arena. He's twice finished runner-up at Sawgrass, most recently in 2017, so not long ago. And again, like Woods, he's got March experience of March conditions at the Players. He's played there three times. He's Florida-based, so comfortable with the conditions, should hit the ground running. And his form figures this year, I know a lot of it's on the European Tour, but 6-3, 6-3, 23 for his last five starts. So Ian Poulter, I can see him being in the mix at 50-1. And then I've got four against the field. My final one is Patrick Cantlay. He's made a steady start to his Players' Championship career, 22nd and 23rd. He played in the Junior Players' Championship a couple of times, so he got to know the course quite early. He's based in Florida now and moved from California. Loves Pete Dye Designs. I've seen some interviews where he's said shown his affection for Pete Dye Designs. Got a good record on the Harbour Town Links in the Heritage, which is another Pete Dye course. And this season, really consistent form figures. 17, 7, 2, 5, 9, miscut 15, 6. And that miscut was really unlucky. Saw him at his final approach at Torrey Pines. It hit the flag stick and span off the green. So just consistently producing the goods. I like Cantlay on this sort of track. So yeah, Poulter and Cantlay can get in the places, and Woods and Shafele can battle for the title.
Righty-ho, Ian, as well as Tiger, who else are you putting up?
Yeah, I've got five more. Next best is Paul Casey. He's in fantastic form at the minute. He was second in Pebble Beach last month and third in the Mexico Championship last time out. Was 25th in between those at the Genesis Open. But interestingly, he led the field in strokes gained TD green. So that ball striking he had in those two previous tournaments is still looking to be at top level. He's a patchy record. The Players 10th, 14th, 23rd, 22nd place finishes are the highlights. I think he's a big danger to front end the market this week and looks a knock on each way bet with all the extra places on offer this week. I think prices out there as big as 45-1 look generous to me.
Ian, just quickly, can I butt in?
Yes.
I know we shouldn't really be mentioning other bookmakers, but one firm in our price tab is going 137-4, Paul Casey. I mean, what has the world come to? Anyway.
Today.
No comment. Who are your other three?
I've actually four more.
First of those
is Gary Woodland. Now, somewhat soft Sawgrass with a lot less penal rough means that Woodland will come to my calculations this week. His best performance at Sawgrass was an 11th place finish in 2014. The course and weather conditions were quite similar to what they will be this year in terms of playing a soft course, a little bit cooler. So yeah, I think Woodland should go well. A solid start 2019, second in tournament champions, ninth at the Farmers, seventh in Phoenix, ranked second in strokes gained approach last time out. Obviously, as I mentioned, with Tiger, a key component this week. I thought 66-1 looked really, really nice this week as an each way perspective. Second one is Jason Kokrak, third week in a row backing him. I'm now officially a Kokrak addict, you could call me.
Oh,
ninth at the Honda Classic and tenth at the Arnold Palmer with great performances, obviously. Ranked second in strokes gained approach and first in strokes gained tee to green last week. Struck the ball beautifully. Lost four full shots in the greens over the course of the week, which is obviously incredibly frustrating for those who backed him. His record of Sawgrass is poor, that's being generous, but looks to be in the form of his life, and his long game is currently at like an elite level. He's leading the field every week in strokes gained tee to green. All I'm looking for is an average week in the greens for him to contend, and I'm willing to take a chance at around 125-1. The next outsider is Sung Jae Im. As I mentioned, the player I took from last week, played beautifully, finished a tie for third in the end, fifth in strokes gained approach, seventh in strokes gained tee to green. Overall, the game looks in great shape. Of course, debut here, but he's an excellent talent. He was shown already this year. He's been performing great on his debuts in certain courses. Another one, 125-1. I think he can continue that trend this week. And the last one is Luke List. Another tied up for the Arnold Palmer. Another player finished in 10th place, ranked 10th in strokes gained approach, 9th in strokes gained tee to green. Another who finished higher with a better week in the greens. He's had two missed cuts, two appearances at Sawgrass. Again, the record isn't great at all. But will the chance him here as he's playing very well? A new course, as Steve mentioned earlier, only 20 players have played at Sawgrass, so it's almost a new course, a new setup for them all this week. I thought, again, he's 125-1, he'll complete my lineup this week.
I've got an incredible stat for you. Wait, I can't quite distill it into a stat. I'll try, actually. In the last 3 years, of the players who finished in the top five, only three were a double-figure price. In 2017, all the top five were 300-1, 300-1, 100-1, 200-1. So what I'm saying is, you can back players at massive prices on this track. Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, Craig Perks won, is one of our favourite players, isn't he, Craig
Perks? Yeah, that was a magic moment, wasn't it?
When Maureen came onto the green, gave Craig a big card. Yeah, that's probably our favourite of a golf tournament, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Craig Perks and Maureen.
That was lovely,
wasn't
it?
So that proves that anything could happen, because that was one of the biggest shocks in the history of golf. You don't be afraid to back outsiders, and don't be afraid to back boring golfers. If you look at the honours board at Sawgrass, what boring golfers. Yeah, Stephen Ames.
I'm going to tell you who these players were who hit the frame in the last 3 years at three figure prices. Schwartzel, Jimmy Walker, he's boring. Schauffele's not. Jason Duffner. Siwoo Kim, Poults, Oosthuizen, Kyle Stanley, Cabrera Bello, Chappell, Colt Nost. Justin Thomas was 100 to 1, third in this 3 years ago. And Ken Duke. Yeah, Ken Duke's boring, isn't he?
Yeah. Ken Duke's very boring, yeah. Yeah, Brooks Koepka was 80 to 1. Talking about prices that surprise you, Brooks Koepka was available about 80 to 1 for this tournament last year. He could go quite well this year, but you can't back them all.
No, you can't. Steve, is there anyone out of the guys at the front of the market you particularly don't like?
I thought the two favourites, Johnson and McIlroy, were too short in the betting. I couldn't understand why Justin Thomas wasn't a little bit closer to him. But I like Woods and Schauffele, and all the ones above them are less attractive options.
So, Steve, after the pain of last week, you've got your mojo back. You're confident. How much does Tiger win you as things stand?
Oh, that's classifier, because there's a lot going on at the moment in terms of... I've just sort of promised that I'm going to drop the stakes, because he's having a huge impact on my mental health the last couple of weeks.
Well, in that case, let's hope he wins to stop the bleeding and get you back on track. That would be good.
Well, if he wins, then I'll reveal the extent of the attack. Yeah, you know me. I don't mess about.
No, absolutely. Okay, fine. Jolly good. Right, anything else we need to say on the Players' Championship before we move on to the big one in Kenya? Ian, are you all done?
I'm all done. Happy with what I've gone through there, yeah.
Okay, Steve, anything to add? I
just want to add something about golf betting in general. I've had to change my approach because this season, like equipment changes. You've been always very big on this. Just ignore them, Bruce. I'm starting to think I might have to ignore equipment changes, because Justin Rose won at the start of the year with new clubs. Ricky Fowler won with a new ball almost first time out. And now Francesco Molinari, the reason that he wasn't on my radar last week is because he's been getting used to new Callaway clubs. So, the testing processes that the big companies have now means that switching clubs is pretty seamless business. So, yeah, I've started to revise my approach slightly. I just thought I'd get that off my chest.
Okay, mate. Well, until they start pulling hockey sticks out of their bag, then a golf club is a golf club, and particularly a ball. I mean, they're all the same. It doesn't matter what writing's on there. That's all nonsense. It really is, honestly.
Coming round to your way of thinking. Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see what the lads fancy in Kenya next.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Oh, baby.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers. Ian McLaughlin, we are getting the tips and betting for the Kenya Open, which is the second tournament this week, apart from the Players' Championship. How do Paddy Power bet, Ian?
Yes, so seven plays this week in Kenya. Justin Harding heads a betting at 10-1. George Kutsea, 14-1. Eric Van Rooyen, 16-1. Roman Langask at 18-1. Christian Bezuidenhout, 22-1. Adji Arnaz, 22-1 and 28-1 bar.
Okay, Steve, you've got a couple for us, haven't you? Who are they?
They are Christian Bezuidenhout and Romain Langask. Christian Bezuidenhout, decent rookie campaign on the European Tour last year, retained his card having come through Q School. Slowly but surely improving. He's only 24. Played some brilliant golf over the weekend in Qatar. Outscored everyone last week in the Qatar Masters. 10 under par in windy conditions. It was really impressive stuff. He's South African. We're in Kenya. We're at altitude. The South Africans play a lot of golf at altitude. He'd be comfortable in these conditions. And he's one of only a handful of players in this field who is course proven. Played a lot of Challenge Tour events, played 9 Challenge Tour events at this course. And in the last of those, in 2016, Bezuidenhout finished 4th. So he's proven at Carron Country Club. I knew you'd like the name of this course, but it's Carron Country Club. So Bezuidenhout's number one selection.
Carron Carpenter?
As in the... Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great name, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're up to Karen this week. And then the other one is Romain Langasque. Another improving youngster who can put Challenge Tour experience to good use, because he finished runner-up in the 2016 Kenya Open at Karen. Finished four shots ahead of Bezuidenhout, closed with a 65. Langasque closed with a 65. So my two have shown they can produce the goods at Karen. Langasque, over the last 6 months, he's just shot up the world ranking, 797th to 184th in 6 months. He was a star amateur, and now he's really kicking on as a pro. And ignore the miscut last week. I know it was expensive. It was a disastrous miscut last week. But he was out in the worst of the conditions on the Thursday afternoon in strong Qatar winds. Shot a really respectable 69 in the second round in the morning. So I'm not overly concerned about that flop. So, yeah, okay. Bezuidenhout and Langasque.
Okay, that's tickled you pink, the Karen, hasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it has.
I notice it's on Sky this week, so hopefully it's one of those tournaments where who's the that nice sort of sounding, friendly sounding South African commentator who always points out the wildlife? No, is it Tony something?
Oh, Tony Johnson. He's Zimbabwean. He won't know.
Okay, sorry. Oh, blimey. Apologies for Tony. But the point is, he'll be pointing out all the nature, won't he? They'll pick up a bird with a very nicely coloured bill, and he'll be able to identify it. So I'm looking forward
to that.
That's
it. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I have been to Kenya, but just the airport. When I went to Kevin Pillane's wedding, I stopped over in Kenya and spent a few hours in the airport, but not a lot of wildlife there.
Great story. Ian, who'd you like in the Kenya Open?
I only have one, it's Sean Crocker. I'm not getting too heavily involved in Kenya this week, but like the look of Crocker. Talented players in a patchy start to his 2019 European Tour season. He was 18 2 weeks ago in Amman, which looked a good effort. Had a strong finish in 2018. Had five top 10 finishes across the Challenge Tour and European Tour. A top 50-1 was worth a small each way play in a very, very weak field this week.
Okay, come on, my Crocker.
You could have the Crocker cock rack double, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Get in there, my son.
Right then, it's the solemn recap of the tips, so if anyone missed any of them, they can jot them down now. Steve, we'll start with your Sawgrass selections.
Tiger Woods, Xander Schauffele, Ian Poulter, Patrick Cantlay.
Right, Ian, this will take quite a while given how many you've tipped. Away you go.
Tiger Woods, Paul Casey, Gary Woodland, Jason Kokrak, Sung Jae-in, Luke List.
Steve, your Kenya Open fancies?
Christian Bezuidenhout, Romain Langasque.
And Ian, Kenya.
Sean Crocker.
And that's it. Lads, if you only had one golf bet this week, what would it be, Steve?
It would be the Tiger Woods, Christian Bezuidenhout each way double.
And Ian?
Just a Tiger Woods each way single.
Okay, right then.
I like it. Yeah, very good.
This is a real sort of orgy of sport for us coming up, isn't it, lads, this weekend? I mean, you've got the FA Cup, you've got the Six Nations, you've got Cheltenham, you've got the Sawgrass. So, Steve, are you planning on plotting up and watching plenty of action?
Yeah, I love this tournament. I'll watch as much of Sawgrass as I can. Not sure about any of the other stuff. You've got to make allowances, isn't you? You've got to sacrifice everything else if you want a bit of Sawgrass action. I've got to sort the ergonomics out in this shed because my neck is much worse than Tiger Woods' neck at the moment. This setup in here is set up for Danny DeVito.
Oh, really?
And I'm not Danny DeVito. I'm not Danny DeVito.
Are you on your knees as you speak now? Can you stand up or would you bash your head?
The desk. Oh, if I stand up, I'd be at Jason Cockrack level, if you know what I mean. I'm like crunched in here, like it's set up for sort of dwarfs.
Oh no, that's not good, is it? Ian, what have you got lined up for the weekend?
A couple of days in, a couple of days off, so we watch the Sawgrass. I'm off today as well, so put the feet up and watch a bit of Cheltenham, I think. I've ever done for the Players' Championship. So, yeah, today a relaxation day, a couple of days in, a couple of days off. So, I'll be watching the golf wherever I am, really.
All right, lads. Well done. Thank you.
Tip a horsey, Bruce. Tip a horsey.
Honestly, after yesterday, I wouldn't inflict that on anyone. Honestly, no.
Are there any wind specialists? There must be a wind specialist. Is there one that goes well in the wind?
I don't think so, mate, no.
Someone who's had a wind operation.
Yeah.
I've got
dirty scope.
Sticks of gold, Steve. Right, we're back next week. What have we got next week, chat?
The Valspar Championship in America. Europe. I should really know this, but
It'll be something.
Hang on, I've got my little chart.
Yeah, I got the calendar here as well.
Maybank. Malaysia. Thank you very much, Steve. Malaysia. Thanks, Steve. Thank you, Ian, and good luck with all your Sawgrass bets.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Give them the whole!